Well, I'm glad you guys are here for the last part of this series, Made for Mondays. And man, it's been a fantastic, fantastic series. We've been talking about this whole time, we've been talking about influence and the influence and responsibilities that you and I have as called out ones to influence those around us. And we looked the first week, we talked to Shauna Wadsworth. She shared her testimony and did the message for that day. And she is a prime example. If you missed this, I really hope that you'll go back on Facebook or on our website and take a look at this video, because she did a great job at demonstrating how someone in her life, she was so far, 16 years ago, she was so far away from God. And she was living in the world. And I mean, if you've heard her testimony in Rooted, you know how far deep into the world. I'm talking about a life of sin that she had lived. And because of the influence of those who were Christ followers, who poured into her life and wanted to help her see her divine purpose in God, and who, how she was created, and how she can be forgiven, and how her life can be a life filled with freedom. And then they invited her to come to church here. 16 years ago, she walked through the doors. And then many of you poured into her life. And 16 years later, she's a prime example of what we're talking about. Someone, and this is why we want you guys to engage intentionally, no matter how far away from God these folks are, that you come into contact with and that you rub shoulders with. Because she's a prime example of somebody that went from here all the way in her spiritual journey to becoming a great influencer in our church and in our church family and in the world and in the community around us. And then the next week, Tyler spoke, and he talked about our responsibility for these two things, to love God and to love people, and to love our neighbors specifically, that God has placed you and put you in where you live intentionally. You're there for a purpose, and that is to influence and share the love, share the compassion, share the grace of Jesus right where you live. And then Caleb spoke for us last week. And when Caleb was talking, he was talking about the responsibility that we have, especially as parents, that we have the responsibility to be the primary source of discipleship for our own homes and in our families and in our extended families. And our children's ministry and our student ministry, we are going full speed forward in trying to figure out ways to encourage you and me, and to figure out ways to give you the tools and the resources so that you can be equipped and know and feel comfortable and take away fear and anxiety in this, so you're having great conversations with your kids and with your family members, because you know you want to be on this spiritual journey of faith with them. And so we looked at this, we kind of said, this kind of has been the theme for where we've been, is that you're called to be a minister wherever you are. You are called to be a minister wherever you are. You see, we grew up, and many of us grew up, and even before, even in generations before us, grew up with this idea of having professional Christians, this idea of having the priest or the pastor who did everything, who came in and we blessed the water, or we prayed over the families, we prayed over and blessed the, and everything that we did, you know, was, we were the professional Christians. But the reality is that you are called to be a minister wherever you are. Every single one of us, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador for Jesus. What does it mean to be an ambassador? An ambassador for the United States goes to other countries and represents the leadership of the United States as an ambassador representing the United States. Our House of Representatives, they meet in Washington. They are supposed to be representing us. Representing, did you catch that? They're supposed to be representing us to the government. How well are they doing? A better question. How well are we doing in this House of Representatives? How well are we doing as ambassadors for Jesus Christ when the stakes are so high for us? The stakes are incredibly high, much higher than the House of Representatives going up to Washington for us, much higher than the ambassadors who go on behalf of the United States. We're talking about eternity. How well are we doing as a House of Representatives? You are called to be a minister wherever you are, and you're called to be a minister whatever you are. No matter what you do, this is not about professional Christianity. If you're a plumber, you're called to be a minister. No matter what your industry, if you're a teacher, if you're an office worker, if you're in sales, no matter what, if you're a business owner, if you're working for the man, whatever it is, you are called to minister, to represent Christ. And I got to be honest with you, this area is where I'm really, really jealous of you guys. Pastors are jealous of you who get to work in the secular industry, who get to work and rub shoulders with people who are far from Christ. This is where I'm jealous of you, because there's this stigma about pastors. And for whatever reason, as soon as I walk into a room and people find out I'm a pastor, everything changes. Conversations shut down. It just changes. When I'm in my neighborhood, I'm known as the neighborhood pastor. I'm not the neighborhood I'm in right now. I haven't gotten to know too many people. I'm pretty new to that neighborhood. But before that, I was known as the neighborhood pastor. Even when I go to family gatherings, nobody else can pray. They have to ask me to pray, you know? Hey, let's ask Mitch to pray. He's a pastor, you know? Like, you know, so that's just the reality that I live in. If I'm on a plane, I'm talking to somebody, you know? The conversation can be going great. Guy's telling me about his life, you know? Wah, 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 F this, you know? Wah, 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 F that, you know? It just comes out in their conversations. And then all of a sudden, the question comes. Hey, so Mac, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp. Or they go, oh yeah, I go to church. Yeah, where do you go? I can't remember the name of that place, you know? Yeah. And that's just the way it is. That's just the reality. And some of you guys know this. Some of you understand this, and you feel this tension in the workplace or in the schools or where you're at. When people find out that you are a Christ follower, when they find out you're a Christian, things change. Their conversations change around the water cooler, whatever it is. Oh, they're coming. Here comes the Christian guy. We better clean up our lane. Whatever it is, you kind of feel this tension. And so there's four different groups of people that we're talking about. When we talk about influencing those in our culture, there's four different groups of people. We're going to focus on two today. But there's four different groups of people. Number one is, so you've got people that are different faith altogether. Muslim, you know, the Jewish faith, connected to us, but they don't know Jesus. And so then you've got Hindu, you know, maybe Buddhist. So you've got that group of people, and certainly we need to have an influence in their lives and help them understand some of the truths of the gospel. Then you've got other Christ followers, so that's another group of people. But then these two groups right here, these are what I would say are primary for the majority of us that we deal with in our culture that are not Christ followers. The nuns and the duns. The nuns, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E. The nuns are a group of people who have no foundational faith background. They didn't go to church growing up. They might know who Jesus is in our culture, obviously, from a bumper sticker or something. They might think that he's a good man. They might think he was a prophet. They don't understand the fullness of the fact that he was God's son. They just really don't even think about it. They don't think about God. They don't think about church. The only lens that they see for you in your life, they may like you, they may respect you, they may think you live differently, but what they view when they see a Christian, they view this. They view that we are right-wing Republicans, that we are more about behavior modification, we're the moral police of the world, we boycott this and we picket this cause or this company that doesn't believe the way that we believe. That's the way they look at us. It's just the reality. It's true. You might not like it, but that's the way they look at us. And so it's a challenge for us, it's a challenge for you to figure out ways to influence that group of people, to see Christianity, to see your life shining the gospel in a different kind of way that they can understand, that they can process, that they can see what's different from us, that we're not just these right-wing Republican moral police of the society trying to change everybody's behavior. We got to get beyond that. And we're going to talk about that today. How can we do that? The second group of people are the duns. This is a growing group in our population. When I say duns, these are the people that have given up on church. They've given up because they grew up maybe in a very unhealthy, legalistic, dogmatic, ritualistic. It was all about ceremony. It was all about a list of things that you can do and you can't do. You guys know about that. Maybe you grew up in a church like that. I grew up in a church like that in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of people that they view Christianity through this whole world, again, of moral behavior modification. And this is where we want to get to, where we want to engage with culture. We want river runners to engage with culture. We want Christ followers in every church engaging with culture and figuring out ways to influence the nuns and influence the duns in our society, and doing it in a way that they can understand. This is not a new problem, you guys. The Apostle Paul dealt with this 2,000 years ago when he wrote the book of Romans. When he's writing the book of Romans, he's writing to... By the way, the book of Romans is like one of the best theological understanding, theological books to help you understand the purpose of life, God's plan of salvation for every man through what Jesus did for us. Romans is an incredible book. And Paul wrote that to a group of people they didn't grow up in a house of faith. They didn't grow up as the Jews grew up, so they were very different than the Jews. In a lot of ways, they were like the nuns and the duns. They saw what this moral, legalistic, rule-based, you know, work your way to heaven kind of a system was. And they shunned away from it. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Jews. But Paul wanted to write this document. He wanted to write this letter to those Christians there and to those who were not Christians there to help them understand and go back to the very foundational fundamentals of the gospel and take away all and strip away all the barriers of their past preconceived notions of what it meant to serve God. And so he writes this in Romans, helping them understand the purpose and the meaning of life and where to find hope. So those are the same things that we're trying to figure out with the nuns and the duns when you're at your workplace and you're in your schools. We're trying to figure that out. So this is what the Apostle Paul says to us when we're dealing with these kinds of issues in our culture. He says this. I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase Bible today. Romans chapter 12. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping. You're eating, you're going to work, so we're going to apply that to us today, and you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So this is what we're supposed to do, to offer our bodies, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices for those around us. He says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become... This is a caution for us. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's so easy for us to do, right? We can just kind of get going in the flow with our culture. Instead, fix your eyes and fix your attention on God. We sang about that this morning. Then he says, when you do that, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and then quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you when you're doing these things. And this is what Paul says, I'm speaking this to you. I'm speaking this to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me. And especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace. He goes on, he says, now it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. This is that moral behavior modification. And sometimes this is an approach to Christians. It's important that you don't misinterpret yourselves. It's not about you. It's not about you bringing your goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. Man, that's powerful stuff. This is awesome, and it just kind of lays this out for us and our responsibilities. as we share and influence and share the redemption story that every single one of us has. And I just want to lay out four really quick points here, really quick points. I think if we write these down and kind of put these in our heads, it will help you tomorrow morning when you head to work. And start to think about this. This is not, again, this is for us to be equipped and encourage our entire body. It is our responsibility as ambassadors. Number one, here's the thing. When you go to work, I don't care what you do, if you're a Christian, you're there to represent Him. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about how. You're there to represent Him. You might say, I don't know how to do that. You haven't seen my work environment, whatever. Leads us to the second thing. God will help you. He will help you. When you don't know what to say, you pray. The Holy Spirit, which lives inside of you, the moment you become a Christ follower, you give your heart to God, God comes and takes residence. He will give you what to say. You trust in Him, trust in Him, trust in Him. Rely on Him. He will help you. The third thing is, focus on what God has done in your life, not on what you do for God, not on how you live for God, but on how God and what God has done for you. Every single one of us in this room, every single one of us who have ever walked on this stage before is in the same boat. We are all sinners, every single one of us. And we are separated from a holy and righteous God. But because of Jesus, He has come and rescued us. And He has bridged this gap between a sinful man and a holy God. And Jesus comes in, every single one of us. So when you're sharing your faith journey and your faith story, you need to come at it from what God has done for you and in you, not what you do for Him. We can't impress people that way. We're not even supposed to try to impress people that way. But we want to make God famous for what He has done for us. The fourth thing is that we show the love of God through grace with others. I think there are Christians who, if somebody's so far away from God, we kind of look down on them. We kind of shun them. But the reality is, every single one of us are sinners. So we need to approach this thing with grace. What if, just think about our world difference. What if when Shauna Wadsworth had walked into the room for the very first time at River Run, so far away from God, what if people sat away from her because they knew about her past, they knew about her history, they knew about the sin in her life? What if no one invested in her? Think about the lives, even in this room, that wouldn't have been changed. That's how critical this is. That's how important this is. And we want this to be a place right here, a safe place, a safe harbor, an oasis from a dry and weary land where people can come in here no matter how far they've traveled away from God in their lives. But they can come in here and find a place of love and acceptance, forgiveness, and grace. And it's not about us trying to change them. It's not us trying to change them. Jesus takes care of that. Our responsibility is to love them and to love them and to show compassion for them, show mercy to them. And then Jesus takes care of the changing part. Amen. The Holy Spirit takes care of the changing part. Now, you might say, that's all well and good, Pastor, but you know, you don't know what it is to work where I work. You don't know some of these people that I work with or the rules or regulations that I have when I have to go to work, and I can't talk about this or can't talk about that, whatever. And so you might be right. I might not be the best person to give this message. I told you already, I worked two secular jobs in my life. I worked at a laundromat and I worked at McDonald's. That's all I got, you know. Other than that, I've been a pastor all my life, you know. So you might be right. But I don't want you to leave here with any excuses. There's no excuses today, because I'm going to bring up two people from within our church body, and I want to talk to them just for a few minutes. We'll just take a few minutes, talk to them. I want to interview them. They are two of the most influential people in our church. They're lay leaders, and they're elders in our church. They have very successful careers in their careers. Their families are, they're discipling their kids. They disciple their families. They influence us, but they also influence those with whom they work. And the life that they live at work is the same life that you guys see here on Sunday mornings. They're men of integrity. They don't get it right all the time. They're still sinners too. But they're living this thing out. And so would you welcome to the stage Donald Enoch and Irvin Alexander. All right, you guys. Let's see. This is, by the way, we did this first service, but before that, this is completely unrehearsed. We didn't plan this out. I don't even know how it's going to go this service. Could be very different from last service. But I just wanted you to know this is kind of raw, and I'm just going to make up questions here on the fly as the conversation goes, and we'll see what comes out of this. But our goal is to help folks from our church, you know, that work in a secular environment, how to have influence for the cause of Christ with those that they work with or go to school with or in contact with. So just real quick, why don't you tell us what you do and what is it? What would you say you do?
Well, there? You know, the people I work with ask me that every day. What is it that I do?
What is it that you do here, son?
So I'm in sales and marketing for a large healthcare company called Philips. And I work in an office actually over there by UCF, and there's probably around 80 or 90 folks in there that I work with.
Okay. Irvin?
I'm a fourth grade teacher. I teach reading, writing, math, science, and social studies.
Yeah. What Irvin won't tell you, because he's a humble man, what he won't tell you is that he left several years ago. He left a lucrative, successful IT industry job and decided to go back to school. And he wanted to be an influencer in kids' lives and be a school teacher in the public schools. And so he chose fourth grade intentionally because that was one of the most, what was the word I'm looking for? That's one of the most impacting, it's not the word, influential ages. You know what I'm trying to say.
I'm not helping.
Yeah, you're not helping me at all. So anyway, I just think that was awesome and good job. So tell us a little bit. Let's just jump into this. How does this play out in your workplace? Excuse me. How does this play out in your workplace? Sharing your faith with others.
So let me just start by saying that what I'm about to tell you is my experience. It's not advice or even a right way to do it or the best way to do it. It's just for the way God has made me, this is what works for me. So I just don't want to sound like I'm telling you this is how it should be done. This is how God has asked me to do it.
None of us have all this figured out.
Yeah, right. So far from that. Thank you. So I like building relationships. I like getting to know people. So I make it a point at work to get to know people. So much so as I will set up meetings one-on-one with people just to get to know them. You know, so you'll talk about business for 15, 20 minutes, and then you ask them, how's your wife? How's your husband? Or how's your children? Tell me about what you do when you leave here. Just building relationships, getting to know them. No agenda. I'm not trying. At that point, I probably don't even know where they stand with Christ. But I'm just really trying to build a relationship and get to know who they are as a person.
Mm, good. What does it look like at the school, on the school level? I know there's different rules, regulations with schools and all that. We hear about that. But how do you go about having an influence?
Yeah, in the school environment, very social environment there. You know, I mean, the rule of thumb is that you can talk about religion, but you can't speak for religion. And it's a very social environment. You never know what you're going to get on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, when I used to trust in my behavior or try to think of plans or communication techniques. What do I do in this situation? How do I behave in that situation? I just found myself full of stress, anxiety, and worry all the time because you just never know what you're going to get. And then the Lord, you know, I've learned, and I'm still learning, that it's not about trusting in my behavior to be my influence. It's about trusting in my Savior to be my influence, and applying His life, His death, and His resurrection, and all that accomplishes for me in those areas of my life, and allowing that to be the thing that shapes who I am, what I say, and what I do. You said in that last point, number four, love, show the love of God with grace to others. Well, what is the love of God? It is the gospel. It's the life. It's the death. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when I am trusting in that, that influences me, and that ends up being the things that influences who I am, how I view myself, what I say and what I do when I'm at work, when I'm at church, when I'm anywhere or everywhere that I am.
So that's good stuff.
I don't think there's anything I can add to that.
Yeah, I was just going to go ahead and skip you on that one.
No,
you're good. So one of the things I'll say is that Irvin is he's very literate when it comes to Scripture. He knows the Bible really, really well. You know, Tyler's probably the smartest guy I know. Irvin's probably second on that, you know, in our church. I mean, But this is not about, what we kind of talked about this first service, this is not about Bible education. It's good to know Scripture, certainly good to know Scripture. But it's not about, when you're engaging with people, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to show the love of God. So just talk about that a little bit, you know, about what that looks like. That's pretty wide open there for you.
Yeah, so there's this kind of cliched saying that people don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's pretty cliched. But I have found that to be true. So for me, that's why it's so important to just build a relationship. And again, not with an agenda, not trying to convert them or bring them to Christ. The reality is that's not my work anyways, right? It's really just to show them love and show them compassion and ultimately show them the gospel. But to the scripture part, but when you start building a relationship with somebody and you get to know them authentically and transparently, at some point you will come to a crisis in life that they're having, whether it's marital issues, maybe it's death in the family, ailment of a spouse. It could be many things. And at those points, that's when people will begin to reach out and really seek answers. And so at that point, you know, it's not about me imparting wisdom. It's really about sharing my experiences with my Christ. And in that case, the wisdom comes from Him. And as far as Bible fluency and understanding of the Scripture, you need to know enough to impart wisdom. Because I can tell you, I have no wisdom. I think come out quite right, but you get the point, right? I don't consider myself a wise man. However, through Christ and through the Bible, I have lots of wisdom that I can offer.
I see what you're saying. I thought you were joking, but then now.
No, it's true. I don't have much wisdom.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think though too that is important for us to see is that the relationship part is the first part, and it's an important piece of this. And they'll come to you in their lives when they have questions, when they're going through some crisis, or when they're going through some challenge, or they're trying to figure out, or asking why are we here, you know, kind of a thing. They won't come to you though, unless you've invested in them relationally. So talk a little bit about. Oh, kick this over to Irvin. How do you invest? How do you invest in the people? How do you love people? How do you start with that? Give me some examples. I want to hear from both of you on this, but give me some examples of the ways that you demonstrate the love of Christ with those around you.
And again, there's no set thing that I think about, you know, no formula to this thing, is that this is how you do this, this is how you're doing that. I've just learned to learn how to rest in the help of the Holy Spirit. That was another point that was saying that God will help you. And it's like Don says, it's intentionally putting yourselves in situations on my job, you know, whether it's at lunch or whether I'm out at recess or different places, that putting myself in situations where I can just be able to intentionally engage in relationship with people. And it's just amazing just being in those opportunities, just the opportunities that the Holy Spirit will give you or that God will give you to be able to speak something. And it doesn't always have to come out as Jesus. It could come out just in kind words and things that just people kind of look at, you know, man, you know, that's how you're thinking about that in that situation. I didn't think about it that way. And how it just ends up kind of moving over into deeper conversations where you get an opportunity to talk about, you know, what is it that's causing you to be able to see this situation this way. You just get these prompts and stuff from the Holy Spirit, and you just never know how it's going to do it. So I don't try to wrap myself and try to try to put myself in a situation where it's me figuring it out, you know. I mean, I like to just be able to rest in who Jesus is and what he's done and let that impact who I am and what I do when I'm on the workplace, when I'm there, so.
Yeah, that's good.
So I think, so if I was to say one thing that really I focus on is intentionality. So I don't let conversations happen. I push them to happen, right? I make sure I'm there and I'm available when the Holy Spirit says, okay, this is the dude. You need to talk to him. I make sure I'm ready. And so sometimes that's just setting up meetings to have conversations, to talk to people. And then from there, it's really just asking God for a lot of help. Because, you know, sometimes you just don't know. And when they say, yeah, I don't believe in God, I'm like, God, he don't believe in you. I don't know what to say to him. I could use a few words here. You know, I just don't know. I'm not a theologian.
And it's amazing how that he does give you the words to
yes,
say.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, when you're leaning on him for that, it really is. It's supernatural. I mean, it's a really amazing.
And the second piece is when all else fails and I don't know what to say, I just don't say anything. I just listen.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And one thing, if I could add to that, is when it comes to Bible knowledge, you know, and this is another thing that I'm learning, is that the Bible is just one big unified story that leads to Jesus. Mm. And so I don't even like to call Bible studies. I like to call them gospel studies because it makes me focus on looking for Jesus in every page of Scripture because it's all about him. And so I look at, I have these 200 books sitting in my closet and all that. And then when I'm learning, like in our neighborhood group that we had, in our neighborhood group, we're learning about being gospel fluent and how to develop gospel fluency and be able to speak the truths of the gospel into the everyday areas of life and not just look at the gospel for our salvation and for our afterlife, but be able to look at the gospel and see how it relates to our relationships, to our money, to our finances, to how we parent our children, to how we engage in society and at work. And I just used to just see the gospel. I didn't see how does the gospel relate to all that. And then we're just learning that, wow, we really, if I speak for myself, I was like, wow, I know a whole lot of Bible, but I don't know a whole lot of gospel. You know, and so it's just, it's all about Jesus. It's all about really learning who God is, what he has done through Jesus Christ, and letting that influence us by which that flows out of us and influences the world around us. Because we talk about what we love, and we love what we talk about, and we love to talk about what works for us.
Man, that's good stuff. Hey, guys, these are two of our elders at the church that, you know, this is the leadership that we have, that they work hard. They have their successful jobs and careers, and then they pour in and influence us in a lot of ways. Thank you guys so much for just your influence. Yeah.
Thank you, Mitch.
This is awesome. They are both neighborhood group leaders, been neighborhood group leaders, and Rooted. They helped us launch Rooted. They lead Rooted coming up here September 9th. You'll hear about that a little bit later when the other bald guy comes up here to talk about that. And but let's do a quick summary, because I want us to do some business with God. I want us to spend a little bit of time with God here, asking a few questions. But let's do a little summary. This is what I'm kind of hearing. This is what I'm hearing from you guys. Through the message and stuff too. Have some intentionality in this. When you get up in the mornings, think about the conversations that you need to have with people. I'm hearing a lot about intentionality. You know, I'm hearing about, as you're getting in your car, as you're driving to work, think about the people that you want to have conversations with. Ask God to give you the strength, take away the fear or anxiety, and just give you an opportunity to talk to them. Even if you're an introvert, just figure out ways to invest in their lives. Find out about their lives. Don't talk about yourself so much. Just hear about them, you know. Think about that. Have a lot of intentionality in investing in people's lives. And as you invest in their lives, when they are going through the crisis or when they are asking the questions, you're going to be the first person that they come to. Because they're going to see also, when you live a life of integrity, they're also going to see that there's something different about you. There's just something different. They won't know what it is. They won't know how to explain it, but they're going to come and talk to you about it. Be available, you know, be available for that. Do it in grace. Show the love and grace, no matter how far away. It's not your job to change them, kind of hearing that. It's not your job to change them. Jesus takes care of that. We don't have to worry about that. It takes the load off of us. If it was up to us to change people, we'd be frustrated, right? So let's just let God take care of that. Let's just love him. Love the people that we're working with. What else did I miss? Oh, God's going to help you. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say.
I don't go in with an agenda. Like you said, we're not there to save them. We're just there to love them and present the gospel when it's appropriate.
Another thing I heard too was it's not a book plan. It's not like five steps to winning your neighbor. You know, whatever. This is just each person is different. Finding out about them, loving them where they are. I think those are all the important things.
Right. And we just want to make sure we, at the end of the day, you know, we give them Jesus. You know, that's the answer, because not trying to find the best way to counsel them. And like we said, give them the five-step plan. It's all about giving them Jesus, because if we're not leading people to Jesus, we're leading them away from Jesus. And as good as the counsel may be and all that, if we're not leading them to him, we're leading them away from him. Mm-hmm. So that's
good
what
stuff.
We need to be doing.
Good stuff. All right, so what I want to do, I want us to take this, and I want us to do a little business with God and kind of figure out what that means for each one of you. So there's four opportunities for you during this time, and we're going to ask a couple questions. You can stay right where you're at in your seat, and you can wrestle with this. Question number one, what do I need to change in my life? What do I need to change in my workplace? What do I need to change when I drive to work, when I get to work, when I go to school, when I'm spending my time in school, whatever it is for you, whatever that looks like for you? What do you need to change to have more intentionality and to show love and invest in the lives of those you work with, that you spend the most time with in your life? What do you need to change? I want you to wrestle with that question. And the second question is, who do you want me, God, ask this question, who do you want me to invest in? He wants you to invest in everybody, but think about two or three people in your mind that God wants you to invest in them. And so what we're going to do, you can sit in your chairs and process that and think that through, spend some time praying. You can come up to the candles up in the front, and we're going to light candles. This is really cool. We did this the opening of the series. But I want you to think about those people in your mind and light a candle that represents the person that you're going to take intentionality with, and that you are going to be an influencer in their life by investing in them and loving them. So come up and light a candle during this time. Also, we have communion, and the two in the back and two in the front that you can go. Remember, this is not about what you're doing for God or what you do. This is about what God has done for us. So this is an opportunity for us to make this as a physical reminder for us, as we take the bread that represents the body of Christ, and we take the juice that represents the blood that was poured out for us. It's what God has done for us. So in that, even, we're remembering what God has done for us, as every one of us have been sinners. And then we'll have some folks at the crosses to lead us in prayer. You may have something that you're wrestling with that God's, dealing with your heart on that might be totally unrelated to anything I've said or anything you've heard in this service, but God has got something going on in your heart and you just want somebody to pray with you over, we would love to pray with you at the crosses, or maybe you have somebody that you want to pray for at your workplace or in your family or in your neighborhood. We'd love to pray with you at the crosses, all right? Before we do that, Irvin, would you pray for us then, and then we'll take some time with God here. Take 5 or 6 minutes or so with God.
Sure. Father, we just love you, God, and we just love you, not because we love you, but because you first loved us, Lord. We just thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life that makes up for our imperfections, and dying on the cross to forgive us of our sins, and being raised from the dead, giving us your Holy Spirit, enabling us so that we can overcome the sin and live the life that you've called us to live. Lord, I just pray, God, that you just help us to always remember that, Holy Spirit, when we slip in and out of not seeing that, not believing that, and when we're dealing with the anxiety, stress, and worries of work and how we should influence our work and where we are, wherever we are, that you just remind us, Holy Spirit, of Jesus. Lead us back to Jesus. Lead us back to the cross. Lead us back to the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, and all of its accomplishments for us, and who you are, and what you have done, and what you've said, and what you've said about us, and allow that to be the thing that influences who we are, how we view ourselves, and what we say, and how and what we do in our workplaces, in our homes, and in our communities, and wherever we are, and whatever we are, Lord. And we just love you, God, and we bless you, and we thank you just through this series, just reminding us that it's all about you, it's all about Jesus and what you've done, and that through that, Lord, if we can keep that in our hearts, Lord, you'll lead us and you'll guide us, God, and direct our steps, Lord, to be the ambassadors and the representatives that you've called us to be wherever we are and whatever we are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.